Great you nerds, I'm Mr. Keck. That's my brother Nerd Jerry. Today is an awesome Super Kegel Bros episode. Boop, 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 boop. I don't know if that was Mario noises or not, but it was something. And we are here to rage. And despite all of our rages,
Oh, you gotta have the lights on.
Perfect. Busted! Alright, and and if at any point during this podcast recording, you notice that I am just spontaneously saying, busting makes me feel good, it's because we're Ghostbuster fans, and in my mind right now, the one, it was a quote from Ghostbusters Frozen Empire when Paul Rudd is like, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Busting makes me feel good. But also, realizing that that is also just the direct quote from the song itself, let me tell you something. Busting makes me feel good. And that can be taken in such terrible connotations when you don't put context behind why you are saying busting makes you feel good or what busting you are referring to. Brother Jared, I'm referring to busting ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I've always thought about it until you just brought it up just now, and then I went...
Have you... So, one thing I thought about on my drive home from the gym, humble brag, hashtag humble brag, I was sitting there thinking, like, okay, warm-up segment. What if we do a little discussion on context and how it matters, and is there anything that you said or thought this week that without the appropriate context would sound not great?
Oh, just every day.
And I can, yeah, like, so I was sitting there, I saw a lady drive by, like, she pulled out of her house while I was at this, like, back road stop sign, and it looked like there was bird crap all on the side of her car, and I just thought to myself, like, hey, lady, that's a lot of bird shit, and, like, in any other world, like, if I said that to anyone, I'd probably, even that lady herself, she'd probably be like, what is this guy talking about? But my other thought was, during lunch one time this week, I told someone that I prefer little pickles. And I feel like that could be taken out of context. But the worst is today I uttered the phrase, spread your butt cheeks so I can get that poop. Now, if you don't know anything about me, you may think that that is the weirdest thing and the weirdest kink someone could throw out there. But my son is still trying to master potty training. He's got it all down. It's just he's not great at wiping himself.
Every parent in the universe understood what you just said. every one of them.
But young people and people not with children
nope.
are like,
nope.
That guy's got a weird kink. Spread them butt cheeks.
Let me get that poop. Yep.
Any weird stuff that you put into your mind or out in the world to... today
or... Oh gosh, So for everyone who living on a rock and doesn't know it yet, I work retail. So I you know, it's a daily occurrence for me of randomness and things that I could talk about. Like, and it happens so often actually that it's sometimes hard to remember those transactions because there's just so many of them. And but yes, no, they have definitely happened. I'm trying to think of a specific example where, you know, it's always customers, but you know, they're like, well, okay, for example, and this hasn't actually happened in a long time, but you know, the phone will ring and I'll pick up the phone. I'll say, hello, establishment. How can I help you? I work for a lumber and hardware store. Okay. All right. Preface that. And sometimes these people will be like, I get it if it's an odd thing, like a really odd thing. It's like, do you guys have the old school Boston siding 12-foot pieces that nobody uses anymore? And I'd be like, no, sorry. You know, that's a legit question. But when they call the lumberyard/hardware store and they're like, you guys got 2x4s? You know, it's like every ounce of my being wants to say, no, sir, we sell sandwiches just like all the other hardware stores. But I don't do it. I want to, but I don't. Or even like, you know, it's like, well, I don't care. And they don't either. Metters Lumber, this is Jared. How can I help you? You guys got plywood? Nope. Nope. We sell seafood. Hi, Metters Lumber, seafood capital of the South.
Wow. I used to get a kick out of, I always used to, so when I worked in an office suite, I always answered the phone a certain way. I used to work, or my program used to be called the first year engineering program. I'd always answer, first year engineering program, this is Chris, how can I help you? Because it was an office suite, so I was usually picking up from the main line. I wasn't answering my direct line. So I was an embodiment of the office. And there would be people like, one, there'd be people that would be immediately confused. And scammers don't know what to do.
No.
Unless you say hello first. Because that's the international sign of we got one. But when you answer the phone, first year engineering program, this is Chris, how can I help you? There's a pause.
Yes.
There's a pause. You hear some mumbling and shuffling in the background, and then they hang up on you.
Yeah. Yep. No, that happens a lot too.
But I'd get calls, and like people would be like, parents usually would be like, hey, I don't know what's going on there, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, what is, like, who's your child? And I'd look it up. I'm like, they're not in this program. Like, why are you calling? Oh, I just thought this was the university's number. I'm like, well, I mean, that's not wrong. It's also not right. Like, I don't know how you ended up with this number.
Inside of the university, there are several departments.
But if nothing else, the me laying out whom you have called first should maybe help. But I got all sorts of questions about things that I had no responsibility or power over. Like, first year engineering program, Chris, how can I help? Oh,
yes, my son is in language arts.
Yeah, my son's not doing very well with this. Oh, okay. What is he doing? Like, he's a history major. Oh.
Oh.
Well,
you have reached the wrong department.
Engineering program.
Yep.
But hey, you know, someday someday will be potentially these concerned, upset parents that don't know what's going on with our 18-year-old.
Yep.
Calling. I'd like to think I'd be better versed for how to go about it, but I also think there's a part of me that's like, nah, I'm just going to let it rip. I'm just going to... I specifically know how to upset people in this domain.
Yep.
I'm going to be a problem. I'm worse than an uninformed parent. I'm informed and a dick.
So isn't that such a great feeling sometimes, like when you may have formerly worked at a place or you're at least somewhat knowledgeable about the way they do things, and then like you roll up or you call them or something, or like, we can't do that, and then you're like, actually you can.
Yeah, especially
since, and let me tell you how.
Especially since I know in most cases the first person I would be talking to is someone that may not understand.
Yeah.
That they can potentially have access to the avenue I want. I'm just either going through the hoops or I'm putting someone in the shit.
Well, you know, and that's another thing too with retail. It's like, and I get it. You know, I work retail in a lumber / hardware store, but I don't build houses. I understand all the things that it takes to build houses. But if you were like Jared, you know, make me a, build me a floor plan for a house. I ain't doing that. Number one, I don't know how. You're going to have a goofy looking house. But if you're like, Jared, you know, I need, and you get specific, it's like, hey, what can you tell me about faucets? It's like, oh yeah, faucets. Well, I can go down a lot of trails with faucets. We can talk about faucets all day long. I'll tell you why you need this one and not that one and blah, 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 blah. You know, and to that regard, inside the house, I can even install your faucet. So I can tell you how to do it. But there's people that call sometimes, man, that are like, do you guys have this? And I'll be like, not really familiar. What is that? And what they can't understand or see is that when they describe it to me, I'm Googling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it looks like a product that I recognize, I'll be like, oh, well, we call that gibbly gobbly gook. And then I'll be able to tell if I've got it in stock or not. But that's not what always happens. Someone will be like, you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, yeah, it's this. And they're like, okay, yeah, do you have it? I'm like, no, we don't have it. And they're like,
but you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, but they say something like, "Are you sure?"
No, I know what Mandarin is. I don't know how to speak it.
Right? Well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, or especially and again, I'm not saying that I'm never wrong on some things, especially inside stuff. Like somebody would come up and be like, "Hey, do you got any more of these light bulbs in stock?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh no, those just came in. We don't have any more right now. I can order them for you. They'll be here whenever." Can't look upstairs for me? Can't look in the back for me? It's like, listen, dude, again, I know I can be wrong from time to time on things if they don't have an overstock tag or something, but it's like, I just want to look at them right in the face and say, "I live here."
Yeah.
I assume you're here.
I assume you have computers that tell you what your inventory is.
Well, and we're constantly adjusting stuff like that because, heaven forbid, in little old Ozark, Arkansas, somebody might steal some plumbing fittings. So, you know, it may say we have 15 and we've only got 12. You know, where did those other three go? Did somebody buy them and they get scanned the wrong? No, somebody stole them is what happened. Somebody stole them. So we just adjust our count and go on. But like, you know, it's like someone, you know, do you have any more of that? Check the count. 0 or 1 on hand.
No.
No, sir, I don't. Well, can you check? I just checked. I have checked.
You need to have a pair of old shoes with you. So that way when someone asks you if you could check, just put the phone down and then just clop the shoes on the countertop.
Yes.
And then from the phone be like, "I'm checking."
I used to joke.
"Okay, sir, I just went and checked."
I used to joke. We used to do this at Lowe's because Lowe's and Home Depot, they've got a back room, but a lot of, especially the newer ones, they don't keep anything in that back room other than like maybe like special order long countertops or appliances, because that's what they sell the most of. You know, they, you know, yeah. Washing machines, dryers, dishwashers, refrigerators. Spoiler alert, if you ever go to Lowe's or Home Depot, most of the stuff that they've got in the back is appliances. But it never failed. And because how they keep inventory straight, and again, if you've ever been there, you've seen this, and I'm not giving away any big secrets or anything, I don't think. They have what they call top stock. So like you have the spot for the something on the shelf, but then up above that for another 10 feet is where the overstock of that item is. And I can't count the number of times where somebody would come in for something and be like, "Do you have any more of these?" And we'd scan it with our little thing and it says, nope, says 0. And they're like, "You can't go look in the back?" And I had to tell people several times, I said, "We don't really have a back. We've got an up. And I can see that it says 0. There's none here." And when I look up to the spot directly above this where we would keep the rest of them, if I had them, they're not there either. So I'm going to say no. But there were so many people that were like, "Can you just go check in the back?" And I'm like, "Sure, let's go check in the back." And I would. I'd go back to the back, and I'd go into the receiving office, and I'd be like, "Hey, what's going on today, ladies? Oh, hey, what you got for us today?" "Nothing. Guy wanted me to check in the back." I'd hang out there and talk to him for 5 or 10, well, maybe not that long, 2 or 3 minutes at least, to where I thought I had given ample enough time to where I had checked for said item. And any of you watching this right now that works for Lowe's or Home Depot, you cannot lie to me and say you have never done this. And if you do, you're actually lying. You're actually lying because we've all done this. It's taught there, not by the managers because they're real square eggs. But like the foot soldiers, yeah, that was one of the first things I learned. People are going to ask you if stuff's in the back. We don't have a back. If they persist, just walk back there. Wait about 2 to 3 minutes and come back out. So that didn't happen very, very often, though. But it did happen.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just, you know, I feel like anyone can relate to the fact that we all have an instance in our work, no matter where you work, as long as you work interacting with people, you're going to have a moment that causes you to question all of humanity. And if an asteroid was coming, should we just go ahead and embrace it? Because I've definitely thought it a couple times, like, you know what? It can't get here soon enough. You know, we keep... I was watching the Pat McAfee show today, and sometimes that's not a good thing, because the Pat McAfee show can definitely open up some wormholes that you may not be ready to go down in your life. But they were talking, and listen, there's going to be some science nerd that gets really upset about what I'm about to say, but they had a segment where Pat, because he's a child somehow. Yeah. I don't understand how he's a full-grown adult with a child, but he's a child. And he was like walking through the process, and they, the whole episode today was them explaining Easter and the whole Good Friday and like him getting as much of what you can get from his friend group discussion of all of this. And they got on they got a fix to the whole, he was like, so today, because Jesus died today, this would be officially zero AD, right? Like, this is the start of the new calendar. And then that they talked about, yeah, so the calendar's been, like, so the calendar, like that. And then they started talking about BC, and, well, he called it BD first, before death.
Which
he was fine with, but, which honestly probably is a better semantic thing, but, you know, whatever. I know that there's time between the death and between the birth that
sure.
is a different time frame.
Sure.
But, anyways, you talk about it, and then they got into this little tangent about how old the Earth actually is. And he's like, well, no matter how many millions of years, apparently we're the only time in which the Earth has been punished as much as it has been. And it's like, well, yes, industrialization and what we've added to it. But it is funny to think that if the world is as old as it's been carbon dated, and that number changes sometimes, but let's just say high end, this planet is billions of years old. Low end, it's
8,000.
Tens of thousands. Yeah, it's the, you know, whatever. It is funny to think about, well, okay, so the most damage is, and his thing was, he got really affixed on, what about the dinosaurs? You know, they were eating grass and farting everywhere. That's methane gas. How? And then one of the guys reminded him, well, an asteroid did come and wipe them out. So, you know, maybe they were punished for it. And he's like, oh, well, good point.
So not to go all evolutionist versus creationist thing here, but fun. And I'm not going to tell you on this podcast or on this YouTube video, if you're watching it there, wherever you're watching it, I'm not going to necessarily tell you what stance I take on these things sometimes, because those spark debates, and I'm all for a good debate, but I mean, sometimes we're just having fun. This is a nerd show. But if you have questions about that whole thing, let's say you're kind of a Christian on the fence, where you're like, well, these people say the Earth is 8,000 years old. These people say the Earth is like 4 billion years old. And, you know, even now, some new Christians are sort of embracing the idea of evolution, which I've never really... Well, I mean, this might sell me out here, but like, I've never been the big evolutionist, but I believe in like absolutely adaptation and, you know, anyway, but, there has been a series of debates between Bill Nye, the science guy, and a guy named Ken Ham, who's an Australian, and to where they talk about creationist theory. Now, if you don't know what creationist theory is basically like a literal interpretation of Genesis. When it says God made the Earth in 7 days, they mean seven literal days. When it says there was a flood, they, you know, because there's a lot of Jewish and local historians that have argued that the flood of Noah, for example, was a regional type flood, a flood, you know, around this area, to where the Bible says clearly it was a global flood. Now, wherever you are on that, there is a lot of, and the only reason I say this is because you mentioned carbon dating, and I didn't really realize this until this guy said it in his book, and I was like, let me go look that up. And it turns out, like, carbon dating, the way, and I can't get into the specifics because I'm not, I mean, I may be a nerd, but I'm not a scientist, but the way it's explained from another viewpoint, carbon dating actually relies on a lot of variables that are just like pulled out of the air guesses. And I was kind of like, huh, because I never, they're like, they carbon dated it, this tree's 9 million years old. It's like, well, they carbon dated it, And then when I read this, I was like, what? No. And then after doing a little research, I'm like, holy crap. I'm not saying we're being lied to, but like, is certain part of science that they're just like, let's just throw in some, you know, some outliers here so we have a reference point. I don't know. And I, again, that's why I'm not telling you where I'm at on this. But if you are in that boat and you'd like to go down that rabbit trail like I did, which was fun, check out Ken Ham. And again, not being all preachy like and whatnot, but like, yeah, it's wherever you're at on the faith spectrum, it's an interesting read. It's a very interesting read.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, so I'll say this as someone that's also not a big, listen, my nerddom ebbs and flows, and it's usually more of a geeky variety than a straight up nerdy variety. But I'll say this, right? I mean, yes, there is always going to be some guesswork to science. A lot of science is theoretical. Like that's just how it is. And they're laying the premise and the principles and the foundations based on either formulas that work or formulas in theory work. So yeah, I mean, it opens the door for people to be skeptical, but you know, to be the other flip of the other side. I mean, listen, I encourage everyone to take in as much information as they want and can. I think that's the big issues that we have right now is that people just don't take information in. They just sit and like, okay, I saw this person say the world is flat or the world is round and I take it at face value.
Right.
Well, you're stupid and you're going to be fooled by a lot of things. I can't prove the world is round because I've never seen the world from an extended view. I do trust that the world is round. I do trust that that for a flat earth to work, someone's got to be falling off the side of falling off some edges here. And we're not. And we're not, gosh dang it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, listen, the fact that your mind has trouble processing things, whether it's faith, whether it's anything, that's very human.
Yes.
It's human for our brains not to be able to comprehend this stuff. And in turn, it's human for your brain to want to comprehend. And it's easy. Occam's razor. The easiest solution is the most probable or the most likely solution. Our brain wants to default to that, right?
Yes.
It's so much more comfortable to say, this is this because I know this. And for some of us, that's not a very well-informed opinion. But I encourage you. Like, listen, I don't tout my religion because it's obnoxious. I heard it from Dan Orlovsky. It's obnoxious. But they were, Pat McAfee, I got my religious pillar today from Pat McAfee, but they were kind of, you know, chirping a little bit with him. And I think he thought they were taking the piss out of his religious side, but he reminded them that he's not religious. And then Pat reiterated something that I guess Dan has said before on social media is that he doesn't consider himself religious in the physical church context because he doesn't want to limit his faith to being an attendance number or that. And I think that creates a whole different conversation. But I think I have found myself always questioning that side of, well, why can't I believe? Why can't I have my faith? But I have to fit in this box of if I'm not attending this building or if my name's not associated with people from this building, therefore, I'm not doing it right. That's always rubbed me the wrong way. Listen, we're going to turn this damn episode into a religious conversation.
Hey, you know what? I'm okay with that. I think theology is wonderful. I never talk about it from a point because I'm also a guy. And yes, I'll share a little bit about my faith, just a little bit. I consider myself Christian.
Yeah.
I try to uphold the values that I believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot of things over the years about those values and about certain things like, well, the notion of grace, for example. Sin's a big one too. You know, there's a phrase that always keeps coming back to me, going back to your church thing, you know, and it was a Scottish pastor of all people who said this. A Scottish guy, apologies for any Scottish people listening right now. That's the best I can do. Anyways, his name is Alistair Begg. And I heard him say one time that the notion has gotten lost in what is church. There's a lot of people that think church is a country club for saints.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a hospital for sinners. And that was just like, wow. And since then, so like, you know, and again, we can discuss all that, but like my, this could really go into a deep episode that I don't necessarily want to avoid because I think it's good content. At least it'll get people fighting. maybe not so in depth tonight, but I will say this. It's very, wherever you're at on the spectrum of faith, it's a very liberating thing, the concept of grace, because basically, you know, that kind of goes to the fact, because like you said, oh, well, welcome to this church. Now you're a member of this church. Don't forget when you go out and talk to people, tell them you're, you know, and there's a sort of facade or sort of a thing. There's a, you're in a bubble now. It's like, yes, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, which kind of Baptist? Well, First Baptist, not Calvary Baptist, though. I mean, like, we're both Baptists, right? Like, what's the difference? I remember the First Methodist Church. Ah, but not the, I don't know, Lutheran. So Lutherans, if you don't know anything about faith, kids, if you don't know anything about religions, kids, you had the Catholics that split off, and one of them made the Lutherans, and then there was the Catholics, and then the Lutherans were like, nah, we're still mad. And one of the first branches that came off that were the Methodists. And that, I don't want to say that's where I go to church, but that's where family goes to church. I don't claim to be a Methodist. But for example, Sunday morning, because it's Easter, I will be going to a Methodist church to take communion with my non-Methodist family, but still church-going family, if that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing I will say, no matter what you are, Baptist, Catholic, whatever – I am a big believer in the Holy Rite of Communion. So that's something I'm going to do whenever I can on Easter. There's a lot of churches that are like, all right, it's Sunday, we're taking communion. It's like, okay, well, that's fine. And there are a lot of churches that are considered, you know, communion is a very, very, very special thing, just relegated to the time around Easter, which is where communion came from. There's a lot of rabbit trails to go down, but no, this actually would be, I think, like a good podcast sometime to talk about faith and not really, you know, not without being preachy and stuff, but like just to dissect what is faith. Yeah. And, you know, and if somebody hears, you know, something that they don't like, they can be like, internet troll, blah, 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 says cuss words.
Yeah. Well, look, I said what I said about churches, but the reality is I've been to Methodist church. I've been to Catholic. I've been to Catholic mass. I've been to Presbyterian. I've been to Methodist, Baptist, a lot of Baptists, a lot of variant Baptists. We're in the South. So yeah, there's a lot of Baptists, a lot of flavors of Baptists around these parts. A lot of flavors of Presbyterian or Pentecostal kind of intermixing at times.
Yeah, Pentecostal has weird, like, not weird, mm-hmm. but like a lot of branches, a lot of fingers on that hand.
I've been to churches that have like 15 pews. I've been to churches that have enough to seat 15,000 people. Yep. Like I'm not here to talk down to churches. I'm not here. My thing's always been this. I'm someone that doesn't take the Bible literally, at least not all of it. I can't. My brain just can't comprehend everything to be literal. I can, however, take it as a great guide for giving you lessons and helping. Listen, I loved Sunday school because at the end of that, you know what I realized? My mom, whether she wanted me to or not, she helped lay the foundations to making me go to Sunday school of someone that had values, understood things like patience, virtue, kindness, forgiveness. Like, I think there are so many great qualities that can be gained. I think it's sad that religion and a lot of things get weaponized. I mean, right point now, absolutely. Every little thing, every thought you have because of social media gets weaponized. I think that's really sad that it happens to something like religion when that's not necessarily what it was supposed to be. But also when I'm sitting, like, so I used to go to a church and, like, you know, having some of the conversations with people, and then it circled back to, I in my mind, I refer to it as aggressive evangelizing. It's you're here now, and you must now share who we are to get others here.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not a virus. And I get the positive side of that. I understand that, hey, if I found a good thing, I want to spread the word of that good thing to get other people plugged in.
Right.
But when it's coming from a place that seems like it has a spoil of riches, it feels so empty and hollow. And I know that's not the best way to judge something, but I don't know. It feels like, you know, it feels like I'm at a Holy Planet Fitness and you're just wanting me to get other people signed onto that contract. And I don't know if that's the calling for me. I get it's the calling for you, but I also think you're making money off this transaction. And I always have thoughts about that. I always have some thoughts about that. But I think there's a lot of value in religion. I've never been anyone that's considered myself atheist. I think I flirted with agnostic there in my edgy youth. But I've always wanted to believe. Because it's terrifying. I think there's so much one, the world sucks if you don't have this higher, like, if you don't believe that there's more to it, man, what a shitty existence. Like, I get that some people's mindset is, we were born, we will die, our energy will be released into the cosmos. And they're content with that.
I don't have enough faith for that.
that makes me, man, just that alone gives me such existential dread. And yes, some of it's ego, right? My life has to have purpose. But some of it also is just an understanding of how sunnier side of looking at existence that can be. That we were all born with some purpose. Whether it's a huge purpose, whether it's a small purpose. In my life as a parent, I see what my purpose is. All of this point, all these lessons I've learned have been imparted on me to help make sure these two little turds that I had to spread the butt cheeks and get the poop out of that they go on and they live whatever their best life is to where they can find what their purpose is. Could some look at that and say, oh, so your life is just to raise your kids? Like, that's just being a breeder. Okay, well, you know, F you. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But, no, like, I think it's such a... I don't want to live in a world... One, I don't want to live in a world without magic. I just think that's sad. I want there to be aliens, angels, maybe not demons, but hey, if angels have to exist, then I need them to be able to kill something.
If you have the belief in angels, you have to believe in demons. So it's sort of the other quest of the coin.
I want there to be ghosts. I want there to be Sasquatches. I want all these things to exist. And that's not me equating the cryptid side of things to religion. Not to get confused there. But I do like the whole wonder of it all. Listen, if there is this big ominous presence, this big omnipresence that decided one day while they were tinkering with the cosmos to then put this weird gas factory that eventually becomes planet Earth into existence, and for whatever weird science experiment, they decided to pop us out of the oven, cool! Like, that's cool! Like, that makes everything so much cooler because, okay... Is that existence by themselves? Is there other existence like that? Were we the first? Were we the 10th? Were we the 100th? Like, all these things, like, I don't know. It sucks that some people will take the fun out of everything.
So, but to go on. Here's a fun theory. You know, like, so being a Christian person doesn't mean you have to, like, neglect science. You know, gravity's real. I know gravity's real. Science.
There are some people that will argue against. Yes. There are some people that do currently on X argue against gravity.
Yes. Yes.
It's part of the flat Earth agenda.
Uh-huh.
It's part of the firmament above us. The firmament.
Well, let's pretend they don't exist for a second, and we all can. The rest of us can all agree that gravity's a thing, right? If you don't believe me, try to fly an airplane without an engine, and then you will find out what gravity is. So, but like, so science exists there too. Like I think that's another reason why God gave us a brain. You're like, does he have all the answers? Yes. Is he going to give us all the answers? No. Why would he do that? He wants, you know, the belief in God is, you know, he wants obedience, but he wants us to come to him out of our own free will. Well, I think sometimes that knowledge is passed down where he just kind of throws it out there and is like, here's this knowledge, but you guys got to figure it out. And if you do figure it out, bravo on you. If you don't figure it out, I gave it to you. You know, so like, going, like, you know, we know, like, so science is another thing that's like, we have science and we have these things like Newton's laws and all these, you know, theories of relativity or plate tectonics and all that. And it just, it what really blows my mind in all of this is the number of scientists that have, based on that, completely and in my mind illogically ruled out the idea of a supreme divine being creator. Like, I cannot wrap my head around that. You look at the you look at the geometry of the universe, you look at just anything in nature, the symmetry of it, call it what you want to. I cannot lay my head on the fact that this was just some random kind of thing that happened 4 billion years ago, because that's the other part. You know, if we believe in Newton's third law that energy can never be created or destroyed. So I saw somebody one time say that, like, you know, to be omnipotent or you had to be outside of three things. You had to be outside of time, space, and matter. So the only thing that could do that, let's just take the Big Bang, for example. If we go by this theory, that energy cannot be created or destroyed by the laws of physics that we know. If that's the case, on its face, the Big Bang could either A, not exist, or B, had to come from somewhere else. So, and if you, again, believe in the omnipotence and of a God, a creator, then if he is able to do all those things, he has to be outside of physics. He has to be out of time of space, matter, and time. It's just food for thought. I'm just throwing it out there. It's things that make you think. We're not trying to convince you in anything. We're just, and I don't even know how we got on the subject tonight, but it's turned into a good conversation.
Yeah. Listen, I'm totally fine if you believe no God, no purpose, no fun, nothing.
Yeah.
All of this is inconsequential. You can do whatever you want, and then you die, you go on the ground, your body decomposes, that's it. Your energy is released, nothing happens. But if you don't, that's also cool. Like, I think it's fine. I mean, because it would be so hypocritical of me to sit there and say, you have to believe that all of this exists. Because again, I don't believe all of it exists. I don't believe all of it ever existed. I hope and, you know, I would love for some of it to be the thing. But listen, the reality is I'll never know. I mean, that's part of faith. Faith is never knowing the answer, but having an idea that you do, and that you're working towards getting to the solution of that problem. That everything that you're doing now, everything that you're working toward, that there will be this payoff for it, because you've had faith and you are following through with that faith and honoring that faith and respecting that faith. And if you don't believe in any of that stuff, okay, cool, do whatever, you know, be happy. I just want you to be a good person. I just don't want you to be a shitbag, is all I really want.
Yeah.
Because, like, hey, that's the other thing, right, is that it's so easy that if you don't believe that there are any consequences for anything outside of, you know, I guess laws, and even depending on how you feel about laws.
If you're a sovereign citizen, even those don't exist. But that's another episode for another time.
Yeah, it's just one of those things like, okay, well then why do you do anything? Why are you part of society? Like, there's no reason for you to be. Like, all of this works because we uphold the societal order, but, like, I don't know.
Well, and there are certain people that argue, too, that the entire, you know, I'm paraphrasing here because I can't remember the exact wordage, but basically, I use the word God, whatever supreme deity or being to whomever, but morality could not exist outside of a set of rules by some sort of divine creativity. Because, and the reasoning behind this, people aren't just inherently good. Because if they were, there would be no crime, there would be no poverty, there would be, everything would just exist solely great. But people are not good. I mean, they're not. Let's be honest.
Oh, is there any other creation on this planet that adheres to morality?
No.
Well, I mean, that's the trippy thing, right? Is that we are this weird thing that exists on this planet when there are a multitude of other things that aren't us.
Yeah.
But that are similar to one another. Like, why? How? 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 How did it all happen? I haven't deep dove into evolution, but I love science. I think science gets a lot of stuff right. I was a fish at one point. I was amoeba, Jamaica. We all want to take it to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama.
Key Largo, Montego, baby. Why don't we go down to Kokomo?
Kokomo.
We'll get there fast. Take it slow.
Then we'll bust it. Because it makes me feel good.
Busted. That's where we want to go. Down to Busted Kokomo.
Oh, man.
Can you put some, like, Meringue stuff in there? In that?
The Florida Keys. There was a little amoeba. It grew some legs and walked on land.
Became a dinosaur way down in Mexico.
Neanderthal. Whatever the other one was and whatever we are or aren't, I don't know. It still bothers me that we're not as closely related to like chimpanzees as we are like a cat or something like that. I forget what the other quantifier is, but like, what the hell are those things?
Yeah.
They're like us, but they're not. Like, they're the uncanny valley of existence. These. I mean, like, they look like us. They have little sad, sullen eyes. They've got very human eyes. And then they'll throw their feces at you and tear you apart. I learned that from a lot of weird things on the internet. But, yeah, I mean, like, yes, morality. Like, why do we have it? Why is that a thing that pops up in our brain? Is it just this hardwired psychological program that's just been instilled over the course of so many years that we just keep getting bought into it? Like, is it carved into our DNA? Why does it exist? How does it exist?
And if so, why are we the only ones that have any source of that? And I know what you're going to say. Oh, well, a pack of wolves can sense when that wolf is endangered or that wolf is danger. He's got a hurt foot or whatever. So that wolf will come to his aid. No, that's instinct and mentality. That is not morality. In any strict of the word, like, look up the definite, read a book. No, but think about like what morality is. Morality doesn't exist outside of the value that we give it. It's not found anywhere in human nature. It's not a thing. It's something that we people, only people, by the way, not animals, not bugs. Only we have classified this very, and you know, depending on the morality, the sets of rules and guidelines can vary from here to there. But a lot of them are pretty much the same when you get down to the strictest sense. It's like, don't be a dick to that guy. Don't kill that guy. Do animals do that? The animals are like, well, no, because they're instinctual. And yes, we are animals. I get that. We're mammals. But that's another thing to me that's kind of like, morality is something that is not found in nature. So it's either instilled in us intellectually some way, or some guy made it up a long time ago and we've just gone along with it for so long. Again, I'm not telling you what to think. I'm just saying, think about it.
Yeah. And listen, morality is a social construct. I get that.
Yeah.
But like, why? Why? Why is it still a
exactly.
thing?
Exactly.
How is it a thing? How did... You're just going to tell me that at some point, someday, some existence, some world, some person was just sitting there like, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you this. Why? I don't know. Feels like you could use it. Why don't... What? Shouldn't I just kill you? No. Here, just have it. Like...
Yeah.
Okay. But like, how did that start? Why did that start? Why do we do that? Because no other animal does that. And baby, I learned from the Bloodhound Gang that we ain't nothing but mammals.
And like the Discovery Channel.
We should do it like they do.
We should do it like they do. And so, you know, that's another thing, you know, that like that song. And it's like
I used to know almost all the lyrics to that song.
me too.
Love the kind you clean up with a mopping bucket. With the lost catacombs of Egypt, only God knows where we stuck it. Hieroglyphic. Let me be specific.
But like,
it's a catchy song.
You don't think about it as a teenager or as a young adult. You know, let's like to do it. They like they do on the Discovery Channel. And you're like, ooh, it sounds kind of dirty. And then you think about it, and you're like, that's the way we've been doing it. I mean, the only
not me in my singular missionary position.
I was about to say that's the only thing different. Give human beings that they have found a way where they're like, we're gonna do the same thing, but I'm gonna stand here.
If we ain't going belly to belly, you're violating God's law. Also, why is that called missionary? I know it's going to go another way, but isn't that weird? Like, isn't that weird? That bothers me.
Well, you see, Mr. Cack, it's called missionary because back in...
The white man!
This seems... I like how we both did that at the same time.
Hey, speaking of morality, we were supposed to talk about the quiet on the set and Sean P. Diddy Combs and all of that madness happening in the world right now. But you know what? I feel like we've done a
much better service.
Oh, you know, we can go to bed sleeping better, not talking about that awfulness that's out there.
Yeah.
But also, if you haven't, you should check out Quiet on the Set.
Yes.
It's definitely one of those things. Man, it's so sad, but like, here's the weird thing. Don't you just assume that this is how all 80s, 90s, before the, like, everything before 2015?
Yeah.
Like, this is just how all childhoods. So here's the one thing I want. I know we're not going to have time to discuss it all, but I had this one thought, and I want to put it out there for anyone that's seen Quiet on the Set, or if you're going to watch Quiet on the Set, it documents some of the abuse, sexual or otherwise, that happened to child actors on the set of Nickelodeon, and mostly Dan Schneider based produced stuff. My thing is this: if at this point in time, after this document series, and honestly before this point, but now after this document after this docu series has come out, if we don't have, or have we always had, and it's just not a good function, but like how after the Me Too movement, studios and production companies moved to having an intimacy coach to help with all of the sexual relations on shows and productions. Like, hey, this was always a weird point of contention for abuse and stuff like that. We should bring in someone that's going to help make it comfortable for everyone and make sure that the production staff and crew are doing it in a way that isn't exploitive. Why is there not like a child advocate on set, or there should be a child advocate on set for any production that has children, and their sole purpose is to interact with the children and to make sure that that production company is going out of its way to do everything to ensure that that child is not being, you know, I hate to use the word violated, because I mean it from not just the weird creepy way, but from all expenses. Because child actors, dude, are just some of the most used up and chewed things in existence. If it's not their parents, then it's a director. If it's not a director, it's a producer. If it's not a producer, it's the cameraman. If it's not the cameraman, it's the dialogue coach. Just all of these open doors for all these monsters. And if it's not any of that heartbreaking evil stuff, then it's the fact that no one's there to guide that kid as they get brought into a world of having too much fame and money for their brains to understand what to do with it.
So I'm going to offer up another what it could be there. And then I'm going to drop this. This is a conspiracy theorist, Jared's answer. Yeah. The reason they don't have things like that is because deep down, and all the money that's involved with this, and all everything, because, you know, that's another thing. If we're naive enough to think that parents didn't know a lot of this stuff was going on, they absolutely did. They were getting paid, or paid in some way. So the reason they don't now, and I get it, we're more police now on stuff involving that than we ever have been. But the reason we don't have stuff like that is quite simply because it still happens. We just haven't heard about it yet. And they don't want those people on set because then they can't do what this and this is again, this is just Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
This isn't Disney's littered with it too. Disney's the devil, man. Look at all these people that have come out, you know, child stars that have come out that have not come out, but they have come out and said, you know, how it was, you know, and how directors treated them, their father treated them, because they're like, we got to have the show. This is our thing. This is how we don't have to work anymore. And, you know, honestly, to answer your question, that's my reason why that those protocols aren't. And I'm sure they're in place. But they're in place when they want to be in place. They're in place when somebody lets them be in place. Because it still happens. It still goes on. 20 years from now, we're going to be reading about the same stuff. And something that, well, maybe not 20 years from now, because, you know, I feel like we have done a better job about that as far as accountability goes with your Weinsteins and this dick from Nickelodeon. But the fact of the matter is, I think, honestly, it's until you do something like you suggested, having someone, you know, some, you know, person on staff that says, whoa, hey, you know, an HR, hey, you can't say that to her or you can't say that to him. It's never going to stop. And when it doesn't matter in Hollywood what the law is, it matters how much money you have. And when people are paid up in the right places, just like Batman, man, when people are paid up in the right places, it's mob mentality. And that's the way it's always going to be until somebody cracks down on it. When are they going to crack down on it? Probably not going to. And that, to me, is the real tragedy, that we know about all these things. That people know about all these things, and I got stuff in my glasses. we still know about all these things. We know how to prevent it.
No.
We ain't going to. And I say we, not me and CAC, because yeah. me and CAC would go in and castrate some fools right now.
Pay me whatever you think is fair to be on. Well, pay me what I think is fair for me, and I'll be on every Hollywood set, and I'll call the cops on everyone if I need to. Like, I'm not afraid. But, you know, the reality of that is, yeah, I'd probably be killed off. Like, I know that's opening up a whole different can of worms. But
join
us
next week.
Yeah.
We talk about celebrity suicides.
But, like, this thing right here. Drake Bell. Drake Bell's a big piece of this Quiet on Set. Because he... Which is this is where it gets trippy. Drake Bell, who recently went through his own allegations and I think was accused and convicted of sexual abuse with a minor. I want to feel sympathy for him, but at the same time, listen, I don't have a lot of certainties in life. I have no respect. I have no need.
Yeah.
I have no forgiveness for pedophiles.
Nope.
And I'm not going to.
Insta hell.
Before I had children, felt the same way. After children, fiercely even stronger about it.
Yep.
Because I don't know how you can look at an innocent little human being and warp them. But neither here nor there. He's went out and he's detailed this stuff. The thing that messes me up the most is he went to court against this person who was the dialogue coach in Hollywood, who's a big deal. And this person on his behalf, this person that was accused of endangering and having sexual relations with a minor, they may not have known who was being specified because he was a minor at the time, but there was James Marsden, Kimmy Robertson, Taryn Killam, Alan Thicke, Joanne Kearns, Ryder Strong, Will Friedle, the brother from Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
All of these people wrote letters on behalf of the coach.
Yeah.
At this court hearing. And now they're all back. They're now all retracting their comments. But did they not know why he was in court? Like, they had to have known. They had to have known.
Absolutely.
And they had to have wrote these I don't know what the letters say. Maybe they discussed it in the documentary. But they had to have known that he was going to court because a child, a minor, someone underage had accused him of this, and they had to have wrote their letters on behalf. He couldn't have done it. He's so great. He's so good. He didn't do that to me. That's so messed up.
It's Hollywood watching their own back, man.
And Drake's father's on this.
Yeah.
And is like, listen, I tried. I tried, but they cut me out of my son's life. They basically boxed me out. And when I brought this up to people in higher positions, they accused me of being a homophobe because apparently the dialogue coach was presenting as a gay man.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a gay man. He's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And you can have a conversation, but listen, you can have whatever sexual identity, if you're a pedophile, you're a pedophile. I don't care if you presented as straight, gay, as a flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
If you find your rocks getting off because you're attracted to minors, you're a pedophile. That's it. That's the end. That's the hard line. I don't care anything else about you. But it's so... Amen. This pisses me off is what it does, Jared. Yeah.
And it's
probably best that we didn't get into this and we discussed religion and said, but hey, listen, religion's also not perfect. There's some churches that have had some scandals and everything. I think that was one thing I was going to say is like, you said it, that it's not just Nickelodeon. Every instance that we have this gathering of children, these awful monsters find their way into it.
Yeah.
Church, school.
Yeah.
Sports. The freaking doctor's office. Like, there's no escape from it.
Yeah.
How do we cut this out? Like, how do we stop this?
Well, I mean, never mind.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get it.
I have a solution. I have a solution.
I get that. And listen, people are going to try to argue like, well, hey, you know, what if you were blue? Listen, don't be that argument.
No,
don't.
No,
don't be on that argument. I'll sit here and listen to you talk to all the differences of how either you do or don't believe in religion. Let's do that.
Yeah.
How you find the best way to shoot a jump shot. Like the 3-point line is good or bad. That the designated hitter is a good, bad thing for the sport of Major League Baseball. All these are great arguments. I'd love to have an argument with you about whether the earth is round or flat. That's perfectly acceptable. Do not come in and have an argument about justifying.
No pro-pedophile arguments.
Just, there's not.
No.
There isn't.
No.
That doesn't exist. That's not a thing.
No.
That's not a thing.
Not a thing. This has been Rage You Nerds.
But as I say, you know what is a thing this episode ending, because I'm going to go punch a wall. Mr. Cack, Nerd Jared, this isn't the episode we thought we were going to have, but it's the episode we did have. And we'll catch you on the next one when God knows where this show goes from here. To the moon, I suppose. But we never
actually... Which may or may not be real.
Which may have been a... Who do they say? Ridley Scott? No.
Gene Roddenberry?
Is that who they think did it? I thought it was another... Who did The Shining?
Oh, Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, that's who it is. They say Stanley Kubrick is the one that facilitated that facade.
Yeah, he's like 9 years old.
All right, it's been Rage You Nerds. I don't know where we go, but there is no end except now. All right, see you on the next one. Bye!
Good night, everybody!